The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
First, I just want to thank everybody for coming. People are busy and schedules are tight, so whatever people are able to squeeze in or squeeze out, it's always appreciated. And I feel a little bit, or a lot, saddened, guilty of the fact that it's very hard to be in touch. I know my kids complain about it, and I imagine it goes beyond that too. But unfortunately today, people are very busy, and my particular area of forced focus, I didn't really ask for it, I don't think, is extremely busy these days. And it's not like Erev Pesach, where rabbis are busy, Erev Sukkot, where the Esrog Mevinim are busy, Chveis, I don't know when else, who's busy on other times, Erev Purim, where the liquor stores are busy. In my business, it's day and night. And I guess that's why I thought maybe we'd use this opportunity to talk about what I consider the probably singular most serious problem or phenomenon that's occurring today. And I'd like to talk about it in the context of Pesach and the Haggadah, because that's really where it all comes from. Pesach really represents that. I saw many years ago from the Briskerov. The Briskerov asks, why is it that in Kriyashma, which is the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, where a person accepts upon himself the burden of Malchus Shemayim, that Hashem is the Adoin HaKoil, he's the master, and we his servants obligated to serve him. Why is it that in Kriyashma is included in the last paragraph, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, the remembering of Yitzias Mitzrayim? And the Briskerov says, very poshut, says, because Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is Kabbalas HaMalchus Shemayim. That's where it comes from. The Malchus Shemayim, the fact that Hashem is the master and we are obligated to serve him, stems from the fact that he took us out of Mitzrayim. We find it all over. Almanas kein p'tisichum eretz Yisrael, mani Hashem alekeichem, sh'otzei siyeschem eretz Yisrael, li'yois lochem li'lukim. This is what we find. There's a beautiful Rashi that I mentioned recently, where Rashi says on the posuk in Kuf Yud Tes, Pesach dvorecho yoyer, Pesach dvorecho, all right, I forgot. Pesach Dvorecho. Yoyer Mevim Psoim. I think that's the pasuk. And Rashi says it refers to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave the Aseres HaDibros, he said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzeisicha mi'aretz Mitzrayim. I'm the one who took you out of Mitzrayim. He told us the toivo that he did for us, that he redeemed us from slavery. And to that we should know that he's our master, and then we should obligate ourselves to serve him. And it seems that in order for us to know and to recognize that he's the master, it wasn't enough for him to say, hey guys, I bought you. You were a slave, I made a deal, we signed a contract, I paid the money, I took you out of slavery, now you're my slave, finished. That's the din, that's the way. No, he had to let us know the teva, it was good. Slavery to me is different from slavery to Paroi. To me, a slave is a free man. And had he not told us the good that lies in the purchasing us from slavery to be his servants, then we couldn't have known, Lodas, we wouldn't know that he's the master, because I can't fathom it, I can't deal with it. It's too overwhelming. Slave, servitude, bondage, responsibility, shibud. Ah, it's good. That makes it easier. But the truth of the matter is that even when it's good, and even when I want it, it's not easy. And that's a Ramban on the same Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Shehotzeichem Eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem introduces himself at Har Sinai. He says, "I'm Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim." Then he says, "Lo yeh lecho Elohim acher mal ponai," and he starts giving the mitzvahs not to have avodah zarah and so forth. So the Ramban brings a mechilta. Mechilta says this is Moshe LeMelech who comes into a city. A king walks into a city, and the people of the city say, "Please make rules for us. Gzeiro leinu gzeiros. King, we'd like to have some rules. Please make rules." So the king says, "Im malchusi iaktem mekablim hechtekaim ugzeroisai. If you don't accept me as Melech, my malchus, how are you going to do my gzeros? You won't be able to do the edicts that I decree." So the question is, it's very strange. Therefore, it says, "Onoichi, accept me as a Melech, then lo yeloch, I'll tell you what to do." But the question is, it's very, very strange, very bizarre, because they asked for gzeros. When the Melech walked in, the first thing they said is, "Please make rules for us," which means they want them. They realize that they're beneficial. They're asking for them. So what's he saying? No, if you don't accept me as a Melech first, you won't be able to do the Gzeiros. It seems that no matter how much I appreciate the Gzeiros, and I want them, I know they're beneficial, I know that the mitzvahs of the Torah will be beneficial for me, I know the directives of the Melech will enhance the quality of my life, but unless I first accept him as Melech, before I'm aware of what the rules are, before I'm focused on the restrictions, on the shibud of those rules, I won't be able to do the rules. I won't be able to accept it because it's too painful, it's too difficult. Nobody wants to be beholden even to those things that he has to be beholden to. He first has to accept the Melech. Oh, he's the Melech. What kind of Melech is? Well, he's a Melech who doesn't ask anything. Ah, that kind of Melech. Okay. Now once I accept it as a Melech, it becomes easier because a Melech, he's the master. Okay, now we have to listen to him. But if we're focused on listening, on the things that we have to listen to, even though those are the very things that he wants us to, we're begging him to do, to give us. It's too much. Shibud is painful. Restriction, responsibility, obligation is painful. It hurts, it hurts, it hurts. Young people today tell me the most bizarre things. I can't even repeat some of them for fear that somebody might hear this and might identify the individuals I'm talking about. But people are, the more intelligent they are, the more sensitive they are, the more vulnerable they are to this pressure of responsibility, obligation, shibud. I must, I have to do it. I have a burden, responsibility, shibud. I can't take it. They go out of their minds. They're just, and that's why people are pyrrhic oil. They're just trying to get away from it all because they can't take the pressure. It's so much pressure to be Meshubin, even though I know it's for my benefit, even though I ask for it. And therefore, Rashi says you have to at least tell them at the moment, you have to let them know the moment that you tell them that you took them out of Mitzrayim, that I purchased you, I have to tell you, and that was for the good, that was for the good. And even that is not so simple. So to that I wanted to add a very... another thought, a very bizarre thought, which just occurred to me today. But I think it's a little bit abstract. But if we could sort of crystallize it, I think it puts this in a real perspective. We sit at the Seder. Next week, what is it? A couple of days, 10 days, 9 days. Sit at the Seder. Kids ask the question, Manishtano. Try to get them involved in the process, you know, unless it's an interactive experience, they're going to go to sleep. They ask. Now we have the captive audience. They just ask the questions. They're ready for an answer. The answer is, and then we recite this one paragraph, which seems to be the synopsis, the short version of the answer. The rest is, you know, elaboration. What's the short version? Avodim hoyinu leparo b'mitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. Vayoytzeinu Hashem elokeinu mishom, and Hashem took us out b'yod chazoko v'zroi anetuyo. Took us out of Mitzrayim. V'ilo lo hoytzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu es aviseinu mimitzrayim. And had he not taken our ancestors out of Mitzrayim, harei onu uvoneinu uvnei voneinu. We, our children, our grandchildren, the future generations, we'd still be meshubad. We'd still be obligated to Paro b'Mitzrayim. V'afilu kulonu chachomim, all the same paragraph. Kulonu nevoinim, kulonu skenim, kulonu yoidim es ha-toira. If we're all chachomim, nevoinim, smart, intelligent, insightful, talmid chachomim, we know the Torah. mitzvah aleinu lesaper b'tzias Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah for us to tell v'chol hamarbe lesaper b'tzias Mitzrayim harezeh meshubach. That's the first paragraph. That's the tamtzis, the short version, the summary of the answer to the questions of what are we doing here tonight. Very bizarre thing it says there. It says he took us out of slavery, right? Fine, that I understand. He took us out of slavery and he freed us. That's the answer. That's what we're celebrating tonight. We're celebrating we are no longer servants to Paroi, slaves to Paroi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us with chesed, with miracles, with kindness, and for the purpose of giving us the Torah at Har Sinai and introducing us to the purpose of creation and the purpose of our living and to be able to reward us and to be able to benefit us and to be able to give us the Torah with all of its privileges, privilege us to be the Am Sgula Mikolo Ami, unbelievable things. And that's all very important. But what are we going to go into over there? If he wouldn't have taken us out, or our fathers, he didn't really take us, he took us out indirectly, but if they would have remained there, and he wouldn't have redeemed them from slavery, we'd be meshubed, we'd still be bound to Paro. And some mefarshim learn, not meshubed means we'd still be serving Paro, we'd be working, building pyramids, because they're not building pyramids anymore today. In fact, there's no Egyptians there anymore. There's, I don't know what there is. I don't think it's a democracy. I'm not sure. Whatever it is. But whatever it is. It ain't Paro and his, and his Khartoumim. Okay? But there would be a Shibu. What? Okay. But Lamaisa, they wouldn't. They're not Mestava. They live forever. Only Klal Yisrael lives on forever. You know, Paro is not Loisi Shochach Mi Pizaroi. You know. Anyway, but Lamaisa, what happened? Who's what is there? Whoever it is, there is someone alive today. There are people alive today who are the descendants of Mitzrayim, of Paroi. And legally, had we not been redeemed as slaves, the property that they owned would have been passed on to their descendants, and we would be owned today by some unknown entity in the Middle East or who knows where else. Okay? Had Hashem not redeemed us from Mitzrayim, we would now be technically, legally owned by some unknown entity. The entity is unknown to us. And the entity, we are unknown to the entity. So we ain't going to have to do anything because of the fact that he owns us, right? He doesn't know who we are. We don't know who he is. He doesn't know anything. So nobody's going to make any. But there's Shibud. Technically, theoretically, technically, abstractly, in the reality of the history, even though it's unbeknownst to anybody, and therefore it makes no difference in anybody's lives, we're still Meshubat to Paro if he didn't breach that Shibud and take us out of Mitzrayim. What's the big deal? This is, what?
Why is that even true?
What? No, true, I could make the case why it's true, because technically speaking, if I was owned.
I wasn't
owned. No, you what?
No.
Hashem, no. Avodim Hayinu means Hashem, because of Klal Yisrael, because of what happened, because of the need that there was with Avram Avinu, Bamoeda, whatever it was, Hashem sent us to be Avodim B'Mitzrayim. That means he sanctioned, he was makne us, he sold us into slavery. That's true. That's a fact. And therefore they own us. And had he not redeemed us, then somebody today would still own us. That's the way they learn pshat. Some learn pshat like this. So wait a second. So I say, so what's the difference? So what? You must tell this. This is in the short version, in the synopsis of the essence of what it's, what?
Answered everybody's problem.
What's that, what?
Is the answer to everybody's problem.
Why? What do you mean?
Because this theoretical shibud, we could relieve ourselves from it by recognizing Hashem.
Oh, very good. So in other words, the pshat is like this. So I just would elaborate on what you're saying. Just a little bit, because. Okay, yeah? So just elaborate just a little bit. So the pshat is like this, you hear? So the pshat is like this, that it seems that in order for us to be mesaper b'tzias Mitzrayim, which is kabbalas ol malchus shamayim, to accept the malchus shamayim, it isn't enough that we asked for it, zoralinu gzeros, like the Mechilta says. It isn't enough that we know hodatem teva shekonisim, that we know that it's good for us. We asked for it, we begged for us, we know it's good for us, okay? And he gave it to us first as a shibud, and then only then the details, so that it doesn't overwhelm us. All that's not enough. If not for the fact that the alternative to this wonderful shibud of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim that I asked for, that's to my benefit, and that I took the shibud even before I realized the details, right? If not for the fact that the alternative would have been to be meshubed in some abstract, remote way that nobody would have even been able to imagine to Paroi or to his descendants, I wouldn't be able to be mekabel the Malchus Shamayim. In other words, when a Jew is mekabel Malchus Shamayim, he says like this. I mean, in very down-to-earth terms, he says, listen, you have, like you say by Pidyon HaBen, my boy is Tvei. What do you want? You want your son, or do you want your shkolim, or whatever it is? You want your $5, all right? What do you want? That's what the Kohen asks you. Would you want to be the slave to Paroi, or would you want to be the slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, the slave to Paro really is very, very harmless, because nobody knows who, what, was, no connection to all the Maisa. But I need to know that the alternative to Shibud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be some other kind of Shibud. Otherwise, I don't necessarily have the capability or the ease or the comfort to say, I am Mekabel the Malchus Shamayim. Why? Because no matter how much I beg for it, no matter how much you let me know how sweet it is, no matter how much it's for my benefit, no matter how much I accept it in the abstract before I even am aware of the responsibilities, and the responsibilities come in Mela, if I am going to be Meshubed, nobody wants to be Meshubed. Everybody wants freedom. And the only way I can take the Shibud, which is really the greatest privilege that I desperately desire, is to know, you know why I'm taking this Shibud? Because the alternative is another Shibud. Ah, now I can take the good one. Now, it's also true that a person, once they've gotten over this Shibud, they can take the alternative, even though the alternative is much more painful, because I appreciate the good. In other words, the Shibud to Hashem is Shibud. There you're really going to have to do something. Over here, the Shibud is to this guy in Mitzrayim who doesn't even know he exists. He doesn't know we exist. We don't know who he is. But someplace out there, there's a Yerush there. Someplace in the, who knows, floating around the Mediterranean, there's a Yerush there. He ain't going to hurt me, right? He doesn't know who I am. I don't know who he is. But the fact that there's something there, okay, Shibud to Hashem is an alternative to another. I'm not really taking on a Shibud. I would have a theoretical Shibud anyway. Now I can handle it. But even though it's more difficult, the fact that I know that it's for my good will now kick in once I know that the alternative is Shibud. But had I not known that the alternative is Shibud, I probably would not be able to accept it. And therefore, I think that's why the Balagota continues, Va'afilu kulonu chachomim, kulonu nevoinim, kulonu skeinim, kulonu miyodim es ha-teira, mitzvah aleinu l'sapir mitzias mitzvahim. Why? Because no matter how much you know, no matter what a chochom you are, you know all of the benefits of Torah. You know all of the brocha, you know all the privileges. But the pain of shibud is overwhelming. And therefore, you have to also know that Avodim Hayinu Lefarah B'Mitzrayim, we started with Shibud, and we would still be Meshubud. Now already I can tolerate the Shibud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What this means to me, this whole abstraction, what this really means to me is that, and I just don't know like how to even say it, we got to understand the pain that every generation, this is talking previous generations too, but certainly our generation is going through. Any kid who's intelligent, anyone who's intelligent, and anyone who is intelligent and sensitive, and realizes the magnitude of Shibud, is overwhelmed. It's almost like it's too much to tolerate. I can't take it. And that's why so many just buckle under the pressure and they rebel. And they fight it, and they run away from it, and they can't handle it. I've heard, I mean, to me, I know, the more bizarre and extreme the negativity, the more I know that this person is deeply sensitive to his Shibudim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and can be reached, and can be touched, and can be awakened, and can be turned on. Because it's just a facade, but it's a defense mechanism, because I can't take the pressure. Oh. That having been said, I just want to add one more thing. Two more things. Three. What? Not more than three. Okay. Anyway, here. One thing is as follows. Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is a song, a praise, a story of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. All about love. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li, doidi li, v'ani loy, v'dig loy o loy ahavo, ahavo, ki choylas ahavo oni. That's all it is. All about love. It's a love story. Yet Rashi says the world was never kedai like the day that Shir HaShirim was given. And the reason Rashi says is because kuloi yira shamayim v'kibel ol malchusay. Shir HaShirim is all about yira shamayim and kabal so malchus shamayim. About fear. About obligation, responsibility. What are you talking about? There's not a word about that stuff in Shir HaShirim. It's all about love. The Teretz is, it's all about love. But Kabbalah so Malchu Shomayim and Yira Shomayim is really all about love. Without the Shir HaShirim, without the Cholas Ahava, without Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, Doidi Li V'ani Loi, Dig Loi Oloi Ahava, without this, they can't be Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim. It's too overwhelming. Shir HaShirim is the key to Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim because it places the Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim on the plane of a loving relationship. On a loving relationship, then I can handle. I can't handle burden. I can't handle shibud. I can't handle responsibility in the abstract. But I can handle a relationship. I can handle love. And through the love, a person can be Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim. And that's why every time we're makabel malchus shemayim kriya shema, we say avor abba, ahava soilim, oyev amu yisroel, habeicher b'amu yisroel b'yahava. It's all preceded by love, and it's followed by love because the first pasuk that you say after Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod, which is the real kabbalah soul malchus shemayim, Hashem is one, there is no other, He's the boss. V'ahav to es Hashem Elokecha, Hashem loves me, and I have to love Him. And in between is sandwich. Kabbalah so malchus shemayim only works when it's sandwiched in between the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we don't have that loving relationship to its nth degree, then we can't accept that shibud. The shibud is too overwhelming. One more thought. What do we do? What does the Torah do? I had the delightful experience very recently to share a thought with a young man who was having some trouble with his shibudim. And I saw that this thought sort of took a burden off his shoulders. And he actually got back to me a few days later and let me know how he, you know, kept thinking about this idea. Very bizarre, Rashi. The pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Doidi li v'ani loy horoya b'shushanim. My beloved is to me, and I to him, the one who shepherds with shoshanim, with roses, means he's a very benevolent shepherd. He takes care of us, you know, gently. So Rashi says like this, Doidi li v'ani loy, who called tzrochov loy tova ela mimeni? Hashem, all of his needs, only asks from me. He only asked me to bring a Korban Pesach. Nobody else. He only asked me to bring a Korban Oilo. Nobody else. And he gives a couple of other examples. And me, I don't ask all my needs except only of him, not from Avodah Zarah, not from Elohim Acherim, not from other gods. That's Doidi Li Vaniloi. I ask you, we bring a Korban Pesach because Hashem is hungry on Erev Pesach? Is that what it is? We bring a korban oilo that's all burnt up on the mizbeach because Hashem didn't have what to eat for breakfast. He asks us, only us, to satisfy his needs. He has needs and we can satisfy his needs. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. He has no needs, and if he did, he'd be in rough shape because there ain't nothing you and I could do about it. So what's going on over here? The Teretz is that in order for us to ask from Hashem our needs, in order for us to accept our responsibilities to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order for us even to accept the kindness that He gives us, which also obligates, you know, people feel beholden when they're recipients of kindness. It's also a painful thing. People, they say over from Reb Aryeh Levine that if somebody insulted him or hurt him, So he would ask himself, he says, what kind of teva did I do this person recently? In other words, I must have done something good for him if he's being so negative to me, because it's too painful to be beholden for good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a trick, a special chesed. That chesed is, Doidi Livani Loi, Hu Kol Tzrochov Leitova Ela Mimeni. He allows us to think that the Korban Pesach is our way of doing for him reciprocity for what he does for us. You know, when I bring Korban Pesach, I'm doing him a favor. When he gives me food to eat, he's doing me a favor. But when I do a mitzvah, I'm doing it for him. Kol Tzrochov, Chazal said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us, in the context of the relationship of Doidi Li Vani Loi, to feel that we're doing this payback.
I can't fool myself.
No, we fool ourselves. Gan's fine. Don't worry about it. I'll teach you how. Yeah, but kids are like this. So I have a feeling that, you know something? He allows me, and he permits me, and he encourages me. I want you to know, in order to maintain the relationship with me, in order not to feel overwhelmed in this relationship, you know, sometimes if you're in a relationship and one partner in the relationship is smothering you with love and the other guy doesn't feel it, it's very threatening. It's very threatening. It's overwhelming. So no, he allows me to feel that I'm also contributing to the relationship. Korban Pesach. I hope that took care of you. I hope you're not hungry anymore on Erev Pesach. You know, we wouldn't want you to be hungry until it comes time to eat the matzahs. You know, Korban Oila every day, breakfast, Korban Tomid Shel Shachar and Tomid Shel Beinu Abayim, two meals a day. You don't need three. You know, he has two meals a day, the morning and the late afternoon. You shouldn't eat after six. That's what my trainer says. No carbs after six. You know, and that's it. You know, and he allows us to feel. To reduce the pain. Okay, so what's the upshot of this whole discussion? Hey, we have to know that Torah is the greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given. That what he gave the Torah to Klal Yisroel is not Shaykh. So much so that the Tosfos read asked the Kasha on the Haggadah, where it says, Mitchila Oivdei Avodah Zarah, Mitchila Oivdei Avodah Zarah Hoyu Avoseinu. So the Tosfos read says, you know, we thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. If he wouldn't have put us in, he wouldn't have to take us out. Shkoyach, what's the big gibalt? So he says like this, Mitchila Oivdei Avodah Zarah, we started out B'nai Terach. Terach's descendants could never be Zoicha, Bedin, to a Maimon Har Sinai. To be Zoicha, to Maimon Har Sinai. The Boir Yoilam gives his Torah, the blueprint of creation, the purpose which he created the world, the guideline for living the good life, gives it to us, and not just shares it with us that we should conduct ourselves accordingly, but gives us the authority to decide its halochas. And when we decide it's halachas chukos shamayim v'oretz, bow to the decision of Beis Din. If Beis Din decides to be ma'abra d'shono, then that little girl who's going to be 36 months old on Rosh Chodesh Nisan is now going to be 3 years old. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be 3 years old when she's 37 months old. Hapsulim will be chayzer to 37 months, even though if Beis Din wasn't ma'abra d'shono, they'd be chayzer to 36 months. Biology bows to the psak of the Beis Din HaGadol. This is all the koyach, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael. This is the Torah. And he gave it all to us. And it's the greatest privilege. And we know it's a privilege. We know it's a privilege. And we asked for that privilege. We said, Gzeir Aleinu Gzeiris. And we know that it's Hoidatem HaToivo, Hoidatem Toivo Shekonis. And we know that the taking us out of Mitzrayim and privileging us to them was the greatest Toivo. And we asked for it. And Avu became where Mekabalit without thinking about the specific burdens because it's too much. And even after all that, we still have to know that unless we realized that we would have had a shibud anyway, we wouldn't have been able to take this shibud in the abstract, which was leading to all that good that we wanted and all those privileges that we could never be zeichet to. If not, I didn't finish with the Taisus Rid. So He put us into Mitzrayim, and he made us suffer. And now berachamim, we're able to be zeichet to a Kabbalas HaTorah. Bedin, we could not be zeichet to Kabbalas HaTorah because it's not Shaykh, a Ben Terach. But now I made you suffer so much. No, I have Rachmonas, I'll give you the Torah. So this is what he gives us, all of this. But in order to take this, we have to first recognize that there would be he took us out of Mitzrayim. We were avodim before. We can be makabel now because we were avodim before. And not only that, we would have remained avodim to this day on some abstract, remote level if he hadn't taken us out. Only then can I be mekabel malchus shemayim. And I think if we realize how difficult kabbalos o malchus shemayim is, then we realize that the only antidote to that is ani ledoidi vedoidi li. Like Rashi says that Shir HaShirim, the world was never as kedai that the day Shir HaShirim was given, because it's kula kabbalas yira shemayim bekibalo malchusay, that the definition and the power that allows us to fear Hashem and to be makabel malchus shemayim is that loving relationship with Him, and that sense that we can pay Him back also, that sense that He allows us to feel that we too are participating in that relationship. If we realize these things, I think it makes it a little bit easier for us to go through this process of kabbalos malchus shemayim, and hopefully if we understand that, it'll make it a little bit easier for us to deal with others, because we realize what they're going through. It isn't easy when there's responsibility. Kodel ha-metzuv v'yoysa, mi-sheinu metzuv v'yoysa, the Marsho says, because metzuv v'yoysa has a responsibility, therefore he has a bigger yetzahara not to do it. The responsibility hurts when you ain't a metzuv v'yoysa. It's like I always say, the neighbor's garbage is a lot lighter to take out than my mother's garbage. My mother's garbage, not forget my mother's garbage in that sense, you know what I mean? But my mother's garbage always is heavier, you know? It's always heavy to take out. Why the neighbor? Because my mother's garbage, I got to take out. My neighbor's garbage is voluntary. Voluntary is easy. Shibud hurts. Anyway, Rabbi said, that's my story. So Hashem should help us. We should be able to be makabel the malchus shemayim. We should be able to realize the difficulties and work to sweeten it as much as possible, with a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and share that relationship with our children, and let our children feel that they are privileged and that they're even contributing to Hashem's master plan and the mitzvahs that they do, so that they should mitigate that pain of shibud and should be easier for everybody to be able to live a life of Torah mitzvahs.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.